We had that all-time high that we just hit. I
know. We make more year after year, and then we're still not surviving. It made no sense to me. It's 7 years of my life just trying to survive. In that 7 years, I found Bitcoin like two times. I faded it twice. And I was like, it's a bunch of nerds that are playing with stupid internet money on the internet. I was at my deepest, darkest point in life. Okay, there's this thing that's gonna preserve my capital. History doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes, and it's just with more people and better tech. I never asked myself, what is money, before I started trying to make money. I just don't want to hold any fiat in my bank. If you held toilet paper through COVID, your toilet paper has more purchasing power than your fiat dollar did. You were better off holding toilet paper than the dollar. The more you're part of the system, they eat away at your soul so slowly that you don't notice it, but enough to a point where within a 10 to 15 year time span, you look back at yourself and you're like, where did I go wrong? You need a secret weapon.
So it's a great time that you're here with me today because we had that all-time high that we just hit. I know, it's exciting. It feels so good. You know, we know it's going much higher, but it's just great to see that it got, what, up to 24,000, I think?
Yeah, I think 123. Did it hit 123? I don't know. I think it was 122. I think it
will. Yeah, well, I think on here it's showing me like on TradingView. Yeah, 123.
Yeah.
So it's funny how when this type of stuff happens and people actually... Even if they don't notice, if you reach out to them and they're probably kicking themselves, it's never too late. You know, we always say, we were chatting yesterday on X, a lot of us, and, you know, we're still buying, you know, it's not like we're going down. As long as we're working, we're still able to save our money in Bitcoin. So it doesn't mean we're stopping now because it's at 120,000.
Oh yeah. I waited last night. I waited till 122. Because I wanted to buy the absolute top, you know? Everyone's just like, oh, yeah. Dips. I buy the tip too, you know? I buy the absolute tip as well. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's fun because it's like, you know, even though we're not buying significant amounts like some of these huge companies or treasury companies, but, you know, any little bit that we buy, I feel like you probably feel the same as me that even when there's a dip, of course, you want to buy when the price is down. But when the price is at a high, you feel like your little bit that you're buying is causing these shorts.
You know, me with my little 1K little Bitcoin buys and moving the price for sure.
I know. And then even when it was stagnant for like a whole day, it barely moved at all. I was like, perfect. I'm going to buy right now just to move it a little bit. Okay. You know, just you think you're going to make a little impact by, you know, reducing the supply that's out there.
Course.
So it's fun to buy at any time, you know. So as the price goes up too, there's always going to be people trying to short it. And it's kind of... fun to watch people play with an asset that they have never dealt with before, something scarce. And it's just funny to see that people are still playing these trading games. So it's interesting to see how it plays out.
I kind of felt a little bit of a vengeance, you know, because I sold it a couple, I think a last year or something, because I was pretty much dying with like real estate and stuff like that. So I sold a little bit of it just to live and survive. Otherwise I was like completely done. But now I regret that. And I'm just like, if I would have just figured out a way to like just stay solvent, instead of like, I don't even think I can catch up anymore.
Yeah. That's the thing though. A lot of people, like even when people talk about when will you sell your Bitcoin at what price, it's like, well, I'll sell it when I need something in life. Like if something is happening in your life that you need it for, so you can't kick yourself for those moments. If there are times in your life that you need to catch up or something's happening, you can sell some. And, in the long term, it evens out, you know, this price action or whatever's going to happen over the coming years. It really doesn't matter in the big picture for the amount that people end up selling. Usually, like, I laugh when people want to buy $1,000 of Bitcoin and they're like, should I wait till it drops like $5,000? And I'm like, what, are you gonna save $50? Like, if it goes, you know, for $1,000 that you're buying, it's really not that much that your price swings. It has to go up like 30% for you to really think on it. And even then, you just continue to buy when it drops.
I mean, could you imagine telling somebody, like, I mean, I saw this from Saylor a while ago, and he was just like, could you imagine like bragging about selling a stock or buying a stock, like Apple stock, like way back then when it was like $30, $40, and then like look at it now? Right. Could you imagine just bragging about that? Yeah. And it's like, why does it matter if you sold at 118 or like sold at 90 or bought at 95 or bought at 40 when it's not going to matter in 10 years and the price is going to add another zero? And then what are you going to do? Like, just cry about it, right? Like, so just go buy more.
I know. And that's what I think. It's like, as long as we're continuing to work, as long as any of us are earning money, you want to convert that into the best savings tool. So it's like you're until the day comes where we retire off, you know, having the Bitcoin that we have, and we don't work anymore, then you can live off of it in, as you need, you know, in time. But it's just, I don't think that, if you need it, you have to sell it to live. Exactly. You know, that's how it is. But I love that you go by the Journeyman, and I love that you're here today because of this all-time high. And just to discuss your journey, the timing is just so right for you to, you know, have gone through what you've gone through to get here. And, you know, I can't wait to hear more about it, but there's some of your posts that we're going to get into pretty much how, you know, like some of the feelings you felt is something that's so in common with a lot of Bitcoiners, where, you know, that whole shedding of the ego, or like you have to like break, you know, for something to hit and to for you to realize what's happening. But something that I feel that I got from one of your posts was you thought that strength meant silence. You had to hold it in to keep it together, not to feel, not need. You were taught to function, become everything they said you should. Correct. So that was something that I kind of got from what you were saying. And can you tell us about how your journey kind of, the journey, man? So how did your journey start as far as where?
And I mean, there's so much to say, like, I can't even pack an infinite amount of, like, it's like asking somebody to take their own universal reality and just put it out there in like 5 minutes, you know. It's like me, I've always considered myself a generalist, you know. Even in school, like, I was never really interested in much. I was always just like, okay, maybe I'll learn something from this and learn something from this and learn something from that, and then try to piece it together to make up whoever I thought I was back then, you know. And I started off in like real estate, because I knew young that, like, you know, they were printing dollars. I saw it already, because I saw them, like, when my parents came from India to Canada, I was like 5 years old, I think. And then I saw what grocery prices were back then and how much you could afford versus the same amount now. And then when I was in uni and high school, I was like, there's no way I can just continue winning or even trying to win by just holding dollars. So I was like, well, what do I go into? And I never even knew about like Bitcoin back then.
Did you see your parents, like, even though that's sort of one thing I was wondering about, like when you look back at your childhood, a lot of us, we either think, wow, look how much our parents used to be able to buy with what they were making. They used to be able to buy so much more, and saving money meant something back then. But also, did your parents struggle? Did you see that growing up? Sure. You know, were you like thinking, I need to do it better, I need to come up with a better way? You know, like, my parents never really invested, you know. They always just worked hard all their life and just saved money, and it just stopped. It worked less and less throughout the years. It's like they just kept working and it wasn't like thinning out, you know. So investing, I always thought that's kind of where I started, was like, I thought, okay, people that are wealthy over time, they invest. But then I immediately kind of went to Bitcoin. I didn't really go to investing. So but that was something that you felt you needed to figure out, because...
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it comes from a place of anger for me. Like, I'm just an angry guy. I don't know why it's always been there. My parents came from poverty, right? Like, even when they came to Canada, like, my dad, you know, took a $100 loan from his friend to come here, you know? And then they came from poverty, and then he built pretty much everything from the ground up, you know. And I just saw it growing up as like, never really showed me the struggle, you know. He never really gave me like that perception of, oh, we're struggling, always just won at life. And that's really what my dad was and is. And so I saw that growing up. And then as soon as I started, like, you know, realizing that, oh, well, we try so hard, we work so much, he works so much, my mom works so much, and we make more year after year, and then it's just like we're still not surviving. Like, it made no sense to me. And I was just like, even before trying to figure out what money was, I was just like, I got to figure out how to make more. And I think that's a problem with a lot of people, is that they kind of generally just lack self-awareness. Like, how are you going to go make money if you don't know what money is, right? And then, so that's the one question that actually kind of just threw me off, because I got out of uni and I started into like my project management kind of systems engineering defense sector job. And I was just like, okay, well, now we're making three times as much because there's three incomes in the house, and yet we're still like barely, like, how does this make sense? Barely surviving. How does it make sense? And every year it just got worse and worse. And I was just getting angrier and angrier. So I was just like, okay, I saw my dad, you know, build everything up from ground up. So why can't I, right? Like, it's in my gene. So I basically took his recipe for success or whatever was working for him, where he was in real estate, he was buying houses, he was renting them out to people. And I started doing the same thing. I did the very first, kind of my very first house buy when I was like 20, 21, with the help of my dad. Like, I mean, I didn't have the money at the time. I just got in. And then I was like, this is great, you know? And that there's a difference in how real estate works in Canada versus the States. Because you guys can lock into like a 30-year fixed interest loan, you know, and then you're pretty much, you're golden for 30 years and you don't have to do anything unless you're refining. Here, they'll change up the interest rate on you every 3 years just because, you know. And it's just like, okay, really? How am I supposed to do anything with that? So I'm making rent, but then they change the interest rate and then now I'm no longer making rent money.
That's what I love when people talk about Bitcoin and sovereignty, just to pause there for a sec. People talk about being sovereign and they love Bitcoin for different reasons, but I love Bitcoin because the rules can change. You know, with everything else, you know, with this, what you're talking about with the taxes in Canada, you know, when we talk about, when people talk about any other cryptocurrency or governments, you know, the laws and the rules are always shifting and changing, and Bitcoin never changes. You know what the rules are, you know what's happening, and it never will change. And there's nothing else like that out there. So that's what we fall in love about, like with Bitcoin, is because you're tired of seeing, you know, the rules of the game just be switched
randomly, and you have no idea when they're going to get switched. And that was like the crazy aspect, because I mean, it was going well. I mean, I accumulated about 3 to 4 houses until COVID started, and then, you know, I was still making money. It was still decent enough interest rates, even though it was fluctuating, for me to be able to refi, take the value out of a house and then go buy another one, right? And then COVID came along and just they stopped paying rent. They just stopped paying me rent. So now I have all of these like 3-4 mortgages that I was trying to just survive on, and now I'm going negative like 6K, 7K, 8K per month. And I'm just like crying, because I try and go to the landlord and tenancy board to like, okay, the tenants aren't paying rent. And they go, well, we can't do anything about it. The LTB date to like, you know, talk to your tenants is 2.5 years out. What do you want me to do for 2.5 years? Like die? Like it's great. And they're just sitting in my house. So then I had to like go tooth and nail to get, fight people to even pay them to leave my house, and then sell it, and then eventually come up a little bit more than my cost basis of what I bought it for, because I'd refied over the few years that I've been doing it to buy more, and then just barely survive, you know. And then even after selling everything and like, you know, getting a little bit more than my cost basis, I'm like, okay, I'm fine now. Oh, it turns out you're not a primary resident on the properties that you're renting out. So every time you sell, capital gains tax. I make nothing. I make nothing on it. And then this is like,
so it makes you realize, that's why you get that anger. And a lot of us like feel that, you know, that fire towards the system, and we get pissed off, because once you realize what Bitcoin is, you realize that the reason you're losing, and the reason that you think I'm doing everything that I should be doing, and I should be doing well, and I should be thriving, and the reason you're not, is because you are not cheating. You know, the people that are closest to the money printer, the people that benefit from the inflation that happens, are the cheaters in the world, and they're winning. And you're not winning because you're not cheating.
Throws me. And then I was just sitting there like, well, okay, I've struggled for 7 years. And Einstein said it, right? Like, the definition of insanity is just doing something over and over again and not seeing different results, or seeing the same results, or whatever he said. I don't care. It just made me realize I was a lunatic for what I was doing. I wasted 7 years of my life just trying to survive, right? And in that 7 years, I found Bitcoin like 2 times. I faded it twice, completely twice. First time in uni, my friends were telling me about it, and I didn't know how to get into it because it was way too complicated at the time to even understand how to get into it. And I was like, ah, it's a scam. It's like, it's stupid internet money. It's a bunch of nerds that are playing with stupid internet money on the internet. And it's a bunch of nerds, and it's stupid. And that's what I thought the very first time.
Well, it's like, I feel like when I first heard about it too, it just reminded me of what you see now with video games.
Yeah, exactly.
Video game currency. And you're like, okay, I guess it's some kind of video game currency. Like, that's what it probably is. But you don't realize that it's different because nobody controls it. You know, that's what's awesome. So, but yeah, the many of us have passed on it, thinking that you're just going to get scammed or buy something that it's like, what is this? It's just like a toy, exactly. Like an online toy.
And in high school, I was like, playing with them. I mean, we had this thing called swag bucks, so it was like almost like internet money, but it was for like students and kids, and I don't remember fully what I did with it, but like there were swag bucks that we were trading on computers in high school, in like the you know, like the big freaking Mac desktop thingy that were like huge. So I was trading those on swag bucks in school with my friends online, and I was like, okay, well, this, when I saw it in uni, I was like, this kind of seems a little similar to that, and it, like, I didn't even fully comprehend what I was getting into. And then, so I faded that. And then 2020 came around, and then my, like, it was like, you know, getting a bit more regulated. You had brokerages that were listing it so that you could buy it and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, I'll get into it. Right. Whatever. Who cares? I bought some, and then just never looked at it again because I was still dealing with all my real estate stuff at the time. And then, you know, I sold back then in 2020, I sold a few just to pay like the capital gains taxes and stuff from selling houses and stuff like that. And I just didn't know what I was doing. And then it was not until like 2.5 years ago that I actually just, I was like, what? I was at my deepest, darkest point in life because it's like negative $10,000 a month almost just for the house that I was trying to live in, because I was with like a B lender because nobody would give me like proper prime rates because of all the other debt I had and all the other tenants that weren't paying me rent and all this other stuff I was dealing with. I was like dying. I was on the verge of like, I didn't even know what to do next. And my job wasn't covering it. And I was like, do I go get more private loans? Because that's a deeper hole that you just can't get out of. My mortgage payment at one point was $10,000 a month and only $99 was going towards my principal. Like and all I had was Bitcoin. All I was doing all 2.5 years ago was like, okay, there's this thing that's going to preserve my capital. That's all I cared about when I got in.
So how did you listen, like reach out back to your friends, or how did you, well, you already had it, but then you needed to sell some to stay afloat, right? But you didn't realize, you know, sort of, you know, how great it was or how much it could save you, right? So you just took more of a dive after that? Was it, well, it was, like, somebody specific?
It was a Gary Cardone space, actually, like 2.5 years ago. He was doing a space with Maze Love, I think, about like finding your genius. And that kind of struck me because I was like, oh man, I started on Twitter as a copywriter because I consider myself good at writing. I like think about a lot of things, how I would feel in a certain situation, and then try to get those feelings out into words and then put it on timeline. So I was like, okay, maybe I could do a copywriting business. So 2.5 years ago, I actually started Twitter as a copywriter, or X as a copywriter. And then I was in like a bunch of different programs, paying a bunch of different subscriptions just to, again, try and make more money. And then I got into this Gary Cardone space, and it was like, what's your genius? And at that point, I was already looking into self-awareness, like enlightenment, and how do you go about breaking this ego thing we keep talking about? And that's a very interesting topic on itself. I don't think ego is something that we can break. It's like a perception of self, right? So that means a sense of self. So that means yourself senses things through your ears, eyes, nose, taste, and it creates a perception of your reality. So it's not really an enemy. It's really something, a tool that you can use. So when they say you got to break your ego, I just think people need to be a little bit more self-aware. But that's what I was in that space for, to talk about like self-awareness and stuff. And then the conversation started about Bitcoin somewhere at one point. And I was like, I've had it. I just don't know what it was. I thought it was an asset. And then people started like throwing books my way, like read the Bitcoin stuff. I just, because I have this habit of just requesting the mic on every space I go into. I like love talking. I went on to the space, requested it. I was like, I have no idea what Bitcoin's about. Enlighten me. To like a bunch of like high, like, you know, a lot of follower people who I thought were super great influencers at the time. And then they just started throwing books my way. Read the Bitcoin standard. Read the fiat standard. You know, take Saylor's course on, it's all free, on the history of money, on the history of people, on history of everything, and how history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes, and it's just with more people and better tech. And I was like, oh my God, okay, okay. So then I spent a week and a half reading into it, and I was like, wow, I've been selling something that is just genuinely truth, or the answer to almost everything to me in my life, because I started thinking about everything that relates to it, like, you know, Saylor's podcast, where he's just like, are you convicted in the chair that you're sitting on? And I'm like, yeah, I don't need 7 different chairs to one podcast, you know, like I just need one. Mm-hmm. And it's just like,
yeah. And even the part where he mentioned, when you take a flight, do you put all your family members on a different airplane? No. Because do you believe in that one airplane so much, or do you just take the airplane? Like, you know, it's, you know, Bitcoin is the best tool for the job, so why would you diversify, that whole thing. I loved when he said that. But there was, I think, the Breedlove series too. And like, there's so many things that really just, he has a great way of explaining Bitcoin as a system. And I think you being a system engineer.
So it looks very good to me in a system type perspective, because almost every area of my life is broken down into a system. Like my family's a system, my friends are a system, my, you know, my work is a system, and it just runs in a certain way in a routine in my head. So I was like, okay. I started learning about Bitcoin through Saylor and the podcasts. I started learning about Bitcoin even more in the history of humans and energy through his like MIT level course that I just read online. And then it suddenly made me more interested in engineering or what I took in school. And I was like, wow, like now everything just kind of applies to this one system. And then I kept deep diving into it. And what really clicked was, oh my God, like this also relates to enlightenment, because I never asked myself, what is money, before I started trying to make money. And then this guy is right over here just answering this question for me. Answers it in a certain specific way that really just equates to this one stupid orange coin being equivalent to like universal currency, which is energy, right? Because what, and then people are I can't hold Bitcoin. Okay, can you hold energy? So is energy fake? Like, are you fake? And then there's like, oh, well, I guess that paradigm makes sense. Well, no shit. So if energy is like the universal currency, then everything we do has energy. That means everything leads to Bitcoin. And I'm like now so convicted in it, because then I started getting to numerology and nuclear physics and freaking quantum mechanics. And I'm out, like, I never took this in high school, was never interested in uni about it. Now I'm here like trying to figure out how to become Iron Man overnight. You know, like it's freaking crazy.
It's weird how that does that. Like, because once you realize that money is not what you thought it was, and it, you know, Bitcoin is based on the laws of physics, it makes you want to take a deeper dive into all the studies that you didn't care about and took for granted. But now they actually mean something to you, because, you know, this flips your world upside down. And the whole thing about it being energy money, I think a lot of people are confused by that, because you're like, okay, it's energy, but what does that mean? But for me, I think when I hear that it's energy, it's backed by energy. So the energy behind the Bitcoin mining in the world, which is global, that energy is what secures the fact that nobody will cheat.
Perfect.
I love what Jeff Booth said. Like he said, thou shalt not cheat. That's what Bitcoin is.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. So that energy that's backing that network, that's incorruptible, immutable, that no one can change, it's backed by so much energy that that's what you're holding. You're holding a piece of that shield that nobody can take from you.
Nobody. So, from you. And it's just like, then I started learning about what is money. And then it was just like, okay, well, where is money flowing to? Because in my mind, if you were to take $500,000 in Canada or $500 million in Canada and just put it into Canada, you could fix a lot of broken systems personally. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what is going on? And then I started getting into like monetary theory. Well, where is money going? Why is it going? And then it comes to a point where you're like, okay, they're kind of almost politics and politicians are playing both sides to just print more and funding. Yeah. So then fiat, like you said, like Bitcoin set, like doesn't allow you to cheat, but fiat incentivizes cheating, because now you're sending money overseas to create wars in order to make more debt that you can just continue accumulating, because now you've told other countries to hold US debt for XYZ amount of weapons, and here's like money for it. So now you're manufacturing wars, you're manufacturing blood, you're manufacturing everything I'm against, you know. Just I didn't agree to go to war, right? I don't want to go to war. And so you're sending money overseas for no, so where's my tax money going? And then you start like looking at stuff like that, right? And you're like, it's not going anywhere other than the back pockets of these people that are just on the
nothing same. Computes.
Nothing.
Yeah, when you start to think about those things and you're like, why did I think that all this time these things would happen, but you just thought that, well, that's the way the world is, I can't do anything about it. But once you find Bitcoin, you think there is something I can do about it. I can escape that world.
Yeah.
Because I hate it, you know. But before Bitcoin, you really didn't have a choice. You had to be like, well, this is the world I'm living in.
Yeah.
So I think that, and I think that you're right about the, you know, the whole, both parties love to cheat. Both parties print lots of money. Both parties fund wars. It's all about a cheating system. So there's no difference really in both Democrat and Republican parties. I don't know how it is in Canada, but I think that with the US, it's people are saying more and more now that it's one big uniparty. And that's what I like about trying to talk more about lately, is how you felt like Bitcoin was an answer to so many different things. You know, the more people fight and bicker over topics that they think are important, it's very much like these are just distractions to keep you distracted from the real problem, because money infiltrates like at the root level in all things in our lives. So it just kind of distracts people from finding, like, actually asking those questions, because you're too busy, you know, arguing with each other.
Always.
So I just think it's interesting, this idea to talk about Bitcoin as like, we already believe it's like our own political party, even though it's not politics, it's completely separate from everything, but we are already using it. We're already escaping that, you know, that charade, you know?
I mean, it's like, we're talking macro, right? So maybe people might not relate, but how is Bitcoin like closer to everything? I mean, you said it, right? Like, even on a micro scale, you think about your own health of things, right? And you're just like, okay, well, how does Bitcoin cure my health? Well, it helps you ask various questions. Like, for example, you said people really think money is the root of all evil on a fiat standard. And if for example, you are just born with an ailment and you don't even know what it's like to live normally, you think the ailment is normal your entire life, and you have no reason to escape it because you don't know what you don't know. And so if we come back down to a micro scale, if you don't even ask yourself like, okay, well, what is health, right? Or why is money the root of all evil? And what, like, if it's the root of all evil, why is it impacting my health so much? Like, if you never sit down and ask yourself these specific questions and try and find the answer, I think you'll just stay stuck in that broken system, whether it's like a micro scale or even a macro scale or even a micro one, right?
Because like Bitcoin fixes money. So really it's greed, theft, and cheaters that are the root of all
evil. Right. And so if fiat is just giving you the power to cheat more and be more evil, and then what is Bitcoin? It's the exact opposite. It's just a mirror that shows you your flaws and gives you a reason, or dares you to be accountable to fix it, right? And if you...
Yeah, and I think by showing you your flaws, that's what it is. It's like, you're so convinced that everything you thought about the way the world works is the way the world works. And it freaks you out. Because when you actually look at Bitcoin and realize what money really is, you realize you've been lied to. And it's a scary feeling. Nobody wants to admit that they've been lied to. It really is like world shattering. And you're like, how does everybody... So once you find out, you don't realize how everybody has fallen for it all this time. But you also didn't want to, you know, it's like looking in the mirror, you know, when they say, take a look at yourself, like people just try to ignore and distract themselves and stay busy and not take the time to actually look deep in within themselves and see and admit that they could have been wrong about something. Yes. Most people don't like to admit that they're wrong. They love to say, I'm right. I'm always right.
That makes so much sense, because what do they teach that in school? I didn't learn self-awareness in school. They didn't teach me self-awareness in school at all. And it's just like, that's probably one of the biggest reasons why people don't like to admit they're wrong. Because like, I mean, like, you have to basically acquiring Bitcoin and adopting that worldview requires you to understand that everything currently is built on fiat. That means everything is a scam. That means everything is incentivized for cheating. That means the generations where your parents fought in wars were wrong. Your generations on generations where they fought in World War I and World War II were wrong. You were wrong. Your parents were wrong. And it's like, just, you get rug pulled. And when you get rug pulled from that base, and you just have this entire new switch in paradigm where you're like, wow, this is now my ego looking at a different worldview that I never even thought of. If you haven't been taught self-awareness, or if you don't even know what that is in school, you'll immediately, and people do that every day, you'll immediately go, no, that's just that, I'm going to stay stuck in my prison because the prison is all I know, right? And that's why I call myself the journeyman, because I like to actually, even with shitcoiners, I will go into their spaces. I'll go and I'll try to, because I don't use their coins. I have no idea. I'll still go in and it'll just go against every single thing that Bitcoin is. And I'm like, you have a CEO, you have this, like, I'm not convinced. And you spend 5 hours trying to convince me. Well, it's not me that you're trying to convince. You have to convince yourself there, bud. Like, you know.
Well, even when we were listening to that, that kind of annoyed me, because like that Caspa space that we had in the Bitcoin Army, they did a really great job of telling those people that, listen, we're not here to be convinced. We're trying to teach you that everything you think is not right, that you can't trust it. A lot of those guys seem real young too, I have to say, the Caspa people. But one thing that I found that was back to what I said earlier, was these, like, a lot of people try to promote coins that they say, well, this is proof of work. This is like how Bitcoin is or was when it was early on. So they're like, this coin is like Bitcoin. But because they have the CEO, because Satoshi, stepped away from Bitcoin and there's, sticking around, the whole point is that you may think you're proof of work until you're not. Because even Ethereum was proof of work, and even Vitalik was a Bitcoiner at the beginning. And he did make Ethereum as proof of work until it became proof of stake. So the rules can change whenever these people decide to change them. So whether you think your coin is something, does that mean it'll be like that always? Because it won't.
And proof of work too. Like, again, it comes back to self-awareness and energy, like everything. It's just like, I go to the gym. Like, you're not gonna consistently get gains by staking your gains, right? You can't stake your gains anywhere. Like, if you don't work out, you're not gonna get the results, right? So
plus staking anything, it's like people want you to trust in staking, where I know some people believe, okay, I keep my Bitcoin on an exchange or a centralized entity because that's what I trust. But we believe that the whole magic of Bitcoin is self-custody, because nobody can freeze your coins or tell you you don't have access. If you stake your coins with anybody, whether it's Bitcoin or some other coin they think is important, at any point somebody can say, well, guess what? You have no access to this because we denied you access, so you don't have, they're not yours. You're letting somebody hold them for you. Just like the bank that can go, close down tomorrow if it gets, if it goes out of business.
Well, it happens in Canada all the time, actually. And people, not a lot of people talk about this. This is actually crazy to me. And I kind of know another rabbit hole I want to go down, but like every other weekend, Scotiabank, they stop working at like 2 a.m. Okay, I'm trying to buy Bitcoin. Like, let me do like an e-transfer. Like, let me do something. Like, let me do something that they won't even let me access to my funds for like a solid 4 to 5 hours before 6 a.m. where my bank app is suddenly working again. Okay, but what about between 2 and 6 a.m. where you just stopped because you thought everyone's asleep? Like, thank you?
It makes me wonder sometimes, because those kind of ideas, because for whatever reason, the bank app isn't working. I always just have, just like how you're like, I have anger. I always have conspiracy type weird questions that I always think that everything is, because once I don't believe money anymore, I don't believe a lot of shit,
I'm paranoid.
Yeah, I'm very paranoid. So when things go down, like, it makes me think that when too many people, too many retail investors, like regular people, start saying, okay, I also need to buy Bitcoin today, and there's like a big run up for everyone to go out and buy some, that's when the banks will start being like, sorry, we can't transfer funds to this exchange anymore because we don't, for whatever reason, they could block it for you. And by the time you decide to do it, then it's like all of a sudden we'll have crazy expensive Bitcoin price, because things will just go crazy. Then they'll be like, all right, fine, now you can get in and buy it more. Who knows? But they could block access from your bank to be buying this scarce asset if they choose to. Even just how Coinbase randomly would have their exchange freeze up whenever the price would start spiking, just so that people could catch up with these orders or whatever the reason was that they were doing this. It was like on purpose. Like, it wasn't like, oh, all of a sudden we froze. It's like, you could make it so that it won't freeze when there's a lot of people using it. But I just think that it's on purpose, so it could be somewhat manipulated. So if people aren't realizing what's happening, it's a very important time to see that there is a lot changing. Like, I don't know. I just can't believe that with everything going on right now, this is not at all a top. This is not like people think, oh, you should probably sell your Bitcoin now and take it.
That's crazy to me. I specifically don't believe in holding fiat. I just don't want to hold any fiat in my bank. Like, if you held toilet paper through COVID, like legitimate toilet paper, your toilet paper has more purchasing power than your fiat dollar did. Like, you were better off holding toilet paper than the dollar. And this is what I tell people, and they're like, yes. What? And I'm like, yeah, you might as well have just gone to the bathroom with it.
No. Isn't that funny? Even Monopoly money is worth more over the years than
like
the
actual
real money.
Yeah, like the crazy.
Actual Monopoly crazy. Money is, it's crazy how even the penny has been, I guess, deleted now. Like, they're like, okay, it's costing too much to make the penny. Then it's the nickel and the dime, and then it'll just be paper money because the coins are too expensive. And then, it's just funny to see how so much value it's lost, and how people just need to sit down and ask what money is. Like, that is
the main question. It's the main question. And people don't. So this is why I'm like really angry just all of the time, because I could have asked these questions 10 years ago. Nobody gave me the onboarding or the reason to. Schools didn't give me that. Genuinely speaking, how do you teach a subject if you don't know what that subject means to you? Like, you sure you're teaching me, like, in university, I was trying to do a business major, business minor with my electrical engineering degree. And like, I went into one of the courses for business and the professor goes, yeah, I'm only teaching this course because, you know, I failed at business, but I'm tenured here. And in my mind, I'm like, why am I learning business from somebody that failed at business? Like, does that make sense at all? And people are just sitting there, psyoped, just blanked, being like, yeah, sure, whatever. I need the credit for my course to get this stupid piece of paper that makes you live in this Ponzi scheme of a system that's willing to let you fail. Like 30 years of blood, sweat, and tears into this country. And they print it away in a weekend. They printed my value away in a weekend by sending money over to Ukraine. And then you have, I mean, it's like, this is anger for me. You got other people from other countries coming into the country and then just getting $5,000 credit cards, phone bills paid for free, like monthly rent covered. What about citizens?
Meanwhile, our government is $37 trillion in debt for the U.S. And they're only giving this money to people because they're creating more of it. There's literally no money. We're $37 trillion in debt. How are they getting money? Because they create it. They're not, people think it's, oh, it's our taxpayer money. It's like, technically it's your taxpayer money because they're creating more of it. And now it's making your money less, you know, valuable. But people just think it's like, they're getting your tax money to do this. It's like, no, they're just constantly creating it out of thin air because they're just,
it's an excellent point because the debt ceiling is basically a meme coin. They raise it. And if you look at 10 years ago, if you took the S&P 500 market cap and you divided by the world wealth 10 years ago versus the same thing now, there has been no increase, actually a decrease. The S&P 500 is like flatlined or decreased based on the amount of share you have in the pie. And Bitcoin's done a 2.5x or something. Or like, even I wouldn't even be surprised if it was a 2,500x. I don't care at that point. Like, but you're getting more of the pie, more value, your purchasing power is being preserved. It's the best thing in the entire world, and there is no second best. They show you a number saying, yeah, your S&P 500 has gone up like 8%, 9% every year, but it hasn't realistically in terms of like world wealth share. You've become poorer. And so that makes you go like, okay, well, if it can be printed infinitely, then whatever debts we get in like housing for me, which is real estate, it just means I'm more in debt. A $500,000 house doesn't mean I got a $500,000 net worth. It means I'm 500,000 energetic units broke in my soul, right? And that's just, your soul keeps getting chipped away the more and more you borrow, the more and more you're part of the system. They eat away at your soul so slowly that you don't notice it, but enough to a point where within a 10 to 15 year time span, you look back at yourself and you're like, where did I go wrong?
Well, that's why I think it chips away at your soul, but it also makes you think that you are not smart enough. You're not good enough. You're trying so hard and you can't get ahead because you start to self-doubt and you start to think that you're just not doing the right things. You're not good at this life thing. You're not good at getting ahead. It makes you question yourself and get depressed. And the more depressed you get, the less you look for answers. You start to give up. But the system doesn't realize that that's like the biggest, this is not priced in type of thing. Because the more people's souls they crush and the more people that they break and, you know, feel like they send to a pit that they feel like they're in so much despair that they have no way out. The more people that happens to, the more they actually start to question everything. And then because they're like, how could this happen to me? You know, I've worked so hard, and then more people wake up that way. So I think as much as they try to keep you down and keep you from not looking for an answer, it crushes
you. That's what Bitcoin dares you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you made a great point. And I think self-awareness is bred out of desperation at this point now. That's where my mind is going to. You don't really start becoming self-aware until you're in like the depths of hell, looking like dead ass, just staring into the eyes of the monsters that you're dealing with and then giving them nightmares, you know? You can't do that. Well, then what are you going to do? You're going to be stuck in hell and you're going to die and you're going to fail, right? But you have to, self-awareness is bred out of desperation, and a lot more people are starting to get desperate. Me, I was getting desperate. That's where my whole concept of, self-awareness in numerology, because I've been starting to get into that as well, because in Hinduism, like 21 is considered the number of God. And I'm like, I didn't realize that until like a few days ago. And I'm like, why, what kind of energetic alignment am I on right now? And I'm so grateful, because who can be with you? Who can be against you when God is with you? You know? So now you have this desperation.
Because I think 7 is a powerful number too. And then 3 is a powerful number.
And 21. And then, Nikola Tesla was very deep buried into like the magic numbers of 3, 6, 9 and like 21. And I'm sitting here like, okay, well, he almost, they don't teach you about it, but he almost figured out freaking time travel with these numbers and the magic numbers of the universe. So that what's there that we don't know? And what's there that's been suppressed? And why is it talked about in all religious scriptures? Why are these numbers so prevalent in all of universe? And how is it related to Bitcoin? Because 21 million, like, that's crazy to me. So now I have this other deep rabbit hole to go. But you don't start asking these questions until you're desperate, and until you have the need for it. They'll keep you so desperate that you get tunnel visioned into just figuring out how do you survive the next 5 to 10 minutes, as opposed to how am I going to win in the next 10 to 15 years? And you'll never get to that concept of worldview of how am I going to win in the next 10 to 15 years without dying.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely like, you feel like you're just looking for a way to survive. And that's why I think part of why we know that Bitcoin follows mathematics, which math is a law of nature, and nature follows a pattern, which is like geometry, and all these numbers mean something. I think like everything is connected, you know, all this energy is connected and all this stuff. But that's why I saw that you commented on my post earlier about the date, when I posted about the date. I like to look for connections in nature, but I think that that's an interesting point to bring up, because Bitcoin hit this, it's like, my mind is weird, but I guess Bitcoiners get it, you know. But but the date, I had never tried one before, and I started to wonder what fruit does it come from. Like, I'm not even sure. Like, I wasn't sure. So it comes from the date palm tree, and it's like a mythical phoenix, because it's called phoenix, like the technical term for it. So I think it's interesting, because the area that it thrives in is in the desert. It's like Egypt, Middle East. So this tree was called like the tree of life. And it's just funny, because Bitcoin hit this all time high. I tried my date for the first time, and then I looked into what this tree is. And it's really like how Bitcoin thrives in this bear market, and then it bears fruit and feeds people that are starving, you know, people that are looking for like an oasis or something. And they're like, oh, now I can take this fruit with me for my travels, because it's, you know, it'll sustain me, you know? So the same thing I thought was interesting with this date palm tree, because it's thrives in the harshest, worst conditions, and it bears this fruit that people can take with them and nourish them and help them continue on instead of just like dying in the desert. So it's like this tree that shouldn't be growing in these conditions. It does, you know? So, and it just reminded me of Bitcoin. I thought that was so powerful, but it's like definitely has correlations to stuff like that in nature, where it does sustain you and it does help you survive this terrible, harsh condition that people are going to be falling more into this pit. And, you know, your money doesn't work the way that it used to. Like our parents, like my parents too, they came from Greece. I was born here, but my parents came from Greece with nothing, and their parents had nothing. And they, you know, worked simple jobs like at a factory. And my grandfather, he actually had one arm, because he had an accident in Greece. So he had one arm and one eye, and he actually sold hot dogs. He had somebody help him build this hot dog stand, and he figured out with one arm to sell hot dogs on the street. And that's how he made money. And my grandmother worked. Okay. She was a beast. But like, we were both, she was like heavy lifting, and she, you know, they were amazing people, but they made it work and they saved money. When you think about, you know, my mom worked hard too all her life. And like I said, she didn't invest. Things just get harder over time. But like, you just start to think that if you're not doing a good job saving money, like some older generations will look at you and be like, you're just lazy. You're not working hard enough. Look what I did. I worked hard all my life. I didn't need so many things like you guys need now. I, you know, all this stuff. But even if you live a minimalist kind of life these days and you cut out a lot of the stuff you think you don't need, you still are struggling to live in a moderate place and like even have kids or anything. So it's, you are conditioned to think that you should just do what I did, but you can't.
Honestly, though, it speaks to your resilience in winning, because, like, I mean, it's in your family to win. I get it. I understand. But I think that's back in our parents' or grandparents' time or whatever, they hadn't devalued the currency at all. So technically, like, they, when they were working, they were doing proof of work in their eyes. you know, in their eyes, where they were, okay, I'm doing this and I can make it. So this was my, but they didn't even know that it could be devalued at the time. So at the beginning of it, it was probably more proof of work and more aligned where you can say, based on the work, I'm saving my value in this and it's working. And that only works, even if you look at currencies of the past, like they have this certain time span or lifespan, right? When that ends, the new one is also currently, like, it's built on proof of work before it gets infinitely inflated. So in that new paradigm, yeah, you're taught to win by working hard and growing the tree for the fruits of labor, right? And then rising through the ashes like a phoenix. Makes perfect sense to me. And I think this is the opportunity we have, because in a system that's dying, there's only one thing that's going to allow you to go from zero to one. And as a lot of people say, it's you got to drop the ego, but I think you got to, in my eyes, strengthen it. Because your parents, your grandparents built everything based on one thing and one thing alone, which is winning. And you need a certain type of ego in order to always win, right? To turn a zero to a one, you need a secret weapon. And then when you have that secret weapon, you have to hone it. You have to utilize it. Like, you can't, for example, in soccer, and this is crazy because our secret weapon is Bitcoin, right? But even in soccer, like, I play a lot of soccer. I'm good at dribbling, but I'm not Messi, right? I can copy Messi all I want, but his secret weapon is dribbling, and he's honed it over a certain amount of time with work, right? He turned his zero to a one with the proof of work of his secret weapon, right? And we as Bitcoiners, or even normies now, have the capacity to become on the same level, just levelize the entire playing field on the same level as Messi, but now you have your own genius or your own secret weapon in Bitcoin that you can relate to yourself in some sort of self-awareness aspect that allows you to find your weapon and utilize it in the energetic plane that you need to in order to just win, right? It takes a certain type of ego to go from zero to one. And I think we need to change that, where it's like, you know, you don't break the ego to get Bitcoin. You have to almost strengthen it to get Bitcoin. And that strengthening comes from just...
Yeah. I think maybe, like you said, the perception, like looking from the outside in and seeing and actually looking in the mirror helps you see the truth. But then you use that conviction and that maybe that ego, that's a new ego. It's like a new, and maybe that new ego is that armor, that shield, that now you can go out and do the things that you're passionate about doing. And you wear it with pride and you wear it with almost like bulletproof, you know, you wear the same armor and your ego that Bitcoin gives you for your time and your energy spent working. Like, you, like when things happen in the world, that sucks, but like at least it's not because it's about being rich or it's about money. It's about preserving your own life and having the freedom of time to do things you want to do and for your future kids or any, you know, future generations. But it's like, you want to feel free. It gives you the freedom, and the freedom is something that it's impenetrable. So it's like, that's what the shield is. It's like, it's a shield for all of the network's money, but then you're wearing this kind of like bulletproof vest everywhere you go. Or just like, convince me. Try to tell me something other than this. I've already hit that wall and I've already looked in the mirror and I've already done the work. And now I'm not going to be convinced otherwise as far as this goes, you know. But I think that you already start to look at all these other aspects, and it just, that's why it awakens so many people. It's not just, so I learned about money and now I'm investing in this. You're not investing in Bitcoin. You found what real money is. You know, you're finding out what real
unfuckwithable is the word I like using. Unfuckwithable.
So my great
unfuckwithable. It's like which a word one? I learned in uni, and it stuck with me. Mm-hmm. I never knew what it meant until probably this year. Unfuckwithable and equanimity. Mm-hmm. Equanimity is the ability for you to be able to just go through life with an "it is what it is" attitude. That's freedom. And unfuckwithable is just your bulletproof. It's freedom. Like, there's nothing nobody can say. I just walk around with that. I will walk around with that all, and every year that I have more Bitcoin, the more wealthier I get. The more I stack, the more wealthier I get. The more free I feel. And I'm like, okay, who's going to do it? Like, nothing. I walk with God now because it's energy. I store my energetic value in something that's going to be preserved for the rest of my life. That's unfuckwithable. And I don't care what happens with the price. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just going to buy more. Equanimity. And now you got this. And it's three, right? Like, it's three things.
Right.
So like,
so just like just like how we hit this all-time high, and just like you did the same exact thing I did, where we saw that high, we were waiting, like, this looks like a high point, I'm buying right now. I remember buying Bitcoin back in 2020 when I first learned about it, and I was very nervous. And even like going forward, I was like, oh no, the price is rising. I felt that FOMO. I felt like I had to put more. And then when the price dropped, you know, and yes, I needed to sell it a little bit when things were hard, whatever I had to do to that I had to do. You do what you have to do, but like, I felt scared at that point. And then I felt scared when I felt a little scared, even though I was so convicted buying it like that 16,000. I did. I bought at that price. And it was scary because you're like, is it going to go down to like more? But I still knew, I understood that it's going to come back at some point, but how much lower will it go? But I was scared at times. Every time I bought Bitcoin, I felt a little bit, you know, anxiety or a little nerves, you know, like, am I doing the right thing? But as time went on, just like how you said that unfuck with the wolf feeling that we have, it's like now when the price dips, I buy, I don't have any like heart palpitations. I don't have any nerves of any kind. When we're at an all-time high, yes, I'm happy. I'm excited about it, but I didn't feel this like wave of emotion where it's like before I used to feel so many waves of emotion. I'm so level now. So it's like, okay, I'll buy more today. And if it flattens out and does nothing for a while, I'll just keep buying during that time because that's fun for me too, to just keep whatever point it is, I don't care. And when you see things about in the future, how dollar cost averaging in the long term with Bitcoin, you could do buy at every top and every bottom all throughout time. And as long as you're dollar cost averaging, you end up still way more, you know, growing your value so much just by doing that. So I really don't care. And you don't care. And it's, that's what it does. It's like, you don't have this sense of fear or anxiety anymore when you buy Bitcoin. You feel like you just know your
I think it's there for me still, just a little bit, just a very tiny little bit, but that's okay. Yeah. Because it's like a roller coaster, you know, like on an amusement park, you go up on a ride and then you come down on like one of these big things, one of these big, like, you know, downturns. Mm-hmm. It was fun though. Like, you enjoyed going down on that down. You enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, again, it takes a little bit of an egoist to be able to like love that ride down. But this is the thing. What my point is like, you've gone down up. So you already know how it feels. So when it goes down again, I already did the big drop, you know, but you also already did the big drop before getting into Bitcoin because you faced your demons and your monsters from desperation. You've already been lower than the biggest drop that Bitcoin can do, right? And I really think people need to get more desperate. Because desperation breeds self-awareness. Because when you're at that.
Yeah. And that's why the harder things get, it's exactly. That part is not priced in because people will get more increasingly desperate. Like, I just really see that, you know, you hear it more every day, everywhere you go, people talking about how expensive things are, how things are getting so hard. Eventually that trickles all the way up to the top. You know, eventually people will just fall into that. They'll feel it. They'll be like, what do I do? How do I preserve this wealth? They'll feel like they hit rock bottom. And that's literally like the point of hyper Bitcoinization. It may not be that they're going to print money.
What's the point of hyper Bitcoinization for them personally too? You know, like, you need to hyper Bitcoinize yourself before you hyper Bitcoinize the world. And it's like, man, I'm so thankful and grateful that I hit rock bottom when I did. If it was later, I'd be even worse off. You know, I need it. You almost, I, at this point now, I like hope I get excited for downturns in life, in systems, in everything, because now my perspective is just based on the perspective of our generations. It's to win. Like, I don't care. All I do is win, right? So even on a downturn, now it makes me freaking excited. It makes me more excited to have a downturn than to go on a date with a significant other, you know? It's like that. I appreciate my downturn more than somebody else ever will.
Right?
And it's just like, now I buy Bitcoin through that downturn. Well, okay. I'm definitely unfuckable. Definitely. There's nothing. I will always win. And that's just how you turn the zero to one. And that's the only Bitcoin's only let me do that. Like, that's if it let me do anything, it dared me to win. And if you take that dare, you win.
Yeah. And that's why it's cool to hear you say that you embrace that desperation or that darkness that you had in your
all
life
the time.
Because that's, you know, like, I would, you know, Jeeves, you know, we talked to Jeeves a lot on he's awesome, but he's the Zen Bitcoiner, and he's, you know, all about the yin yang, you know, the balance in nature, you know, but he, you know, understands that you wouldn't have Bitcoin as an answer unless you had the terrible fiat to begin with. So we wouldn't have had Bitcoin come out if it wasn't for how bad this was. So you need the two opposites to come together. And it reminds me also, I thought this would apply to you too, but I had Michelle on recently too, and I haven't posted her episode yet either, but I did tell her about this, which is just something that I think you might laugh at me, but it applies to you too, because okay. I told her okay. that I watched this K-pop Demon Hunters movie with my daughter. We're going to laugh. It's so funny. But with those songs in that movie, I was like, this is like a Bitcoin anthem. Like, I'm like, whoever wrote this freaking pop music for this song, for this movie, it sounds like it's like a young, like a Bitcoiner. But one of the parts that I have saved is, I broke into a million pieces and I can't go back. But now I'm seeing all the beauty in the broken glass. The scars of part of me. The scars are part of me. Darkness and harmony. My voice without the lies. This is what it sounds like.
Could even think about that as breaking your soul into like 21 million pieces.
Yeah, I have chills.
That's amazing.
Isn't it? I was like, it's a freaking K-pop, you know, Demon Hunters movie.
And we're hunting it now, you know, like I was scared of it before, but man, this applies. That's crazy, because now all roads, everything leads to Bitcoin. I'm almost like neurotic with this stuff. Like, people call me crazy. Like, I go into work and I'm like, fine, don't hold Bitcoin. Do anything else other than hold dollars, please, dear God. And they still don't, like, oh my God. But I'm almost neurotic. I'm almost neurotic with this stuff. It applies to everything. Demon Hunters for you. Like, I look at normal music, just the Post Malone Candy Paint song that I tried to make. That applies to, like, every single thing. And now you have artists with Drake just talked about Bitcoin on one of his songs. So it's like, okay, it's getting there. Every single thing is getting there. And we front ran basically 90% of the entire world with just the fact that we're truthful. We don't cheat. There's proof of work. And it can be seen in a Bitcoiner if they're faking it too, you know? Like, if you go to the gym and you're a Bitcoiner, you're going all out. You just are. If you're going and, you know, trying to build a system in your life, you're going all out. Because there is no diversity. You're just one. You, as a man too, especially with the whole post that you were talking about, I was taught to stay silent because silence was strength at the time. But silence is not strength. It's your ego that's the strength. It's your ego that's the strength. Silence is strength in fiat, because they want you to be happy and they want you to stay quiet and they want you to follow the rules and they want you to, you know, be accepting of pride.
Okay, I have to read the next part. I have to read the next part of the song now when you're saying that. I have to. There's two more verses, but it's like perfect. You know, I told Michelle that I think there's two songs. The one it's called, what the hell is it called? I don't know what the name of, I think it's, I don't know what the first one's called. The second one's called Free, but this part I have to read. And it reminds me of the Bitcoin Army, because, and Smash by Saturdays and all this stuff, because back when we were more scared and more doing this alone and, you know, sometimes you would maybe feel like questioning yourself and second guessing, but when you see that everybody else is like, no, we're buying, like, this is literally, we're not stopping. We're all together on this. So this verse I told her reminds me of the army. It says, we're shattering the silence. We're rising defiant, shouting in the quiet. You're not alone, but none of us are out here on our own. We're not heroes, we're survivors, the dreamers, the fighters. No lying, I'm tired. But dive in the fire and I'll be right there by your side. So it's like, isn't that cool? I'm like, that just feels like we're all together, we're shattering the silence, we're rising defiant. It's like, that is literally like, you're just like about the quiet that you were talking about.
That's beautiful. It's like the phoenix rising out of the ashes.
This is just one little verse from that other song, but it says, we can't fix it if we never face it, the mirror, right? And then it says, let the past be the past till it's weightless. What if we could find a way to escape it? We could be free.
Yeah. Wow. So, that just gives me chills, you know, because it's like, you, man, I didn't like the guy I looked at in the mirror when I first looked, you know, you look at yourself and people don't know how to escape that, because they were never taught personal responsibility or they look at themselves and they think, I hate this version of me. But instead, like, I don't logically understand though. It's because when you hate something of yourself, like, wouldn't you, like, nobody else is going to come change it for you, you know?
I think people just still, like, try to be oblivious to it. They try to ignore it. They think that maybe they just want to convince themselves they're right and there's nothing they could have done about it and nothing that could help them. They probably just think there's no answer. But I love that it says we can't fix it if we never face it.
Exactly.
You know, you have to face it. You have to look, and like you said, in those fiery eyes of the demon and just be like, fuck you, you know, we're not doing this anymore. We're tired. And then it says, like, about the whole, how you feel like this energy, this, you know, we were talking about that armor almost that you have on you. It's like, let the past be the past till it's weightless. So it's like, that's why we feel unfuckwithable, because we feel weightless. We feel like we're not being held down by some anchor anymore. We're not, we're flying. We're feeling like there's nothing that could pull you back down. Like we're like almost, yeah, we're just, we're feeling free. You know, that's what freedom feels like.
And that's true wealth to me. My unit buys is no longer the dollar. People are just like, what's $100 going to do buying Bitcoin for you 20 years from now? Well, if you figured out how to like truly fly like Superman and you just jumped, like for the very first time you were trying to figure out how to fly and you just jumped and you floated, right? You floated for like 5 seconds in the air. Wouldn't that blow your mind? What did that do for you? What did that do for you, right? It was the 5 seconds of flying not like motivational enough for you to go, I now want to fly 2 minutes in the, because I just flew 5 seconds. I just had 5 seconds of freedom. I want 10 seconds. I want a minute. I want the full day. I want the full year. I want it all, right?
When you're not, like, nobody can, like, you know, like, if you're Superman, you're flying, it's like you're dodging and weaving and escaping all the obstacles and things they're trying to do to shoot at you and take you down. You're like, nope, I'm just getting away from it. Like, there's all this space up here and I can go wherever I want, you know? So it just feels like.
And see, it even applies to, like, fake realities. Superman is not even real. And Bitcoin applies to it. Like, that's what I'm saying. Even what we don't know applies to.
Even Satoshi. Satoshi is real. That did happen. And he feels like Superman to us.
Yeah. Oh my God. And it's crazy. So
it's a connection. It's a connection to superheroes. Cause it's like, he was like a superhero. He was like the original demon hunter. He was like, I'm going to take this shit down. I'm going to give people this tool that will free them. So he feels like a superhero to us. Like, that's why I like connecting superhero stories with Satoshi all the time. And a lot of old movies and things that we watch, like, I don't know, just The Matrix.
Obviously. Well, obviously, yeah. I mean, everything kind of connects. I mean, oh, don't you want to be a super? I want to be a superhero. I wanted to be a superhero as a kid. I wanted to be Superman as a kid. That's why even my profile picture now, after finding Bitcoin and being unfuckwithable and having equanimity, is like laser eyes, but with fire, because I'm the demon hunter now. I am. I will. Like, all I do is win. And that's my own. I wake up every day. I look in the morning in the mirror and I love the guy I look at. Because all I do is win. And that was taught to us by our ancestors. We are.
That's why that rage. Yeah, that rage that you said, like, I feel anger or rage, or that kind of, that's kind of how I am. It's like that anger and rage is going towards that demon hunter sort of like personality where you're like, I'm not going to back down from these. I'm going to fight them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's like you, and then you feel like you're, you know, with that sort of superhero mentality, it's because when you watch a superhero movie or you've read comics your whole life, it was always like they always won. You know, the superhero would always defeat all the enemies and monsters and everything that came and attacked it. You always knew that when you finished the end of that movie,
they
won. Story, that hero wouldn't be dead.
Yeah.
You know, that didn't happen. You know, so it's like the hero wins. You know, that's the thing. And it's like Bitcoin is that hero for us, you know, so it makes us like we're an extension of it, you know? So we feel like, yes, bad things could happen in life, but you almost, you know, you still feel like you have protection for so many fears that, you know, just your, again, not being like wealthy, like to the point where you have stuff to make you happy, but just the fact that you have the freedom to do what you want with your time is something that you can't take away, you know, no matter what.
And this is why I'm actually like very unhinged on X, because strength to me now is no longer silence. Strength to me is freedom, and freedom means I can do and say whatever the fuck I want, whenever I want. And like, that's why I'm just like, it's like absolutely mind blowing to me that I could just do that now, because I never used to be able to. I wouldn't live any other way. I would not want to live any other way.
And that's why I'm glad that you joined me today, because I know that, I don't know if you haven't done another podcast, but you spoke.
I've done, when I was a copywriter 2.5 years ago, I did like podcasts on, again, my journey into how I got to becoming a copywriter. I really like, ever since I've met Jeeves too, just the whole concept of me just looking into myself more has been magnified as well. Because I mean, like, you know, like I said, Bitcoin dares you to win means, so I don't know if you watch anime or not, but I watched this TV show recently called Solo Leveling. And I really think like you should check it out. Insane on how everything in that also applies to Bitcoin. Just it's one of the I think a very well-written animated show that it's, you might think it's like for kids and stuff, but you watch it and you're like, holy crap, I can't do half the things this guy did. And he's won that. Like, and like, it gives you so much more motivation, because the concept of it is there's a bunch of demon holes that open up throughout the world. Funny enough, it's in Japan. The demon holes open up throughout the world. There's demons that are coming out of it. And there's only a select few people in that world who somehow just get powers to be, you know, strong or smart or athletic or agile. Thing is, they can't, nobody in this world can level up. So whatever rank you get, or whatever power you're born with, at whatever strength it is, that's the strength you get. Except for this one guy who somehow, by going through his own demons, gets the ability to level up. And he's just like, by facing more demons, by facing more powerful demons, by facing even more powerful problems, by going into even more depths of hell, he levels up. And it's just like, well, this is normal, right? Like, you go through your own depths of hell and people just stop. You don't. But then if you actually win and you level up, now you can appreciate the strength that your spiritual soul went through, your 21 million pieces to make that entire freaking thing from the depths of hell. And it dared you to do it. And you did it. Now you can look in the mirror and say, well, I fought all of these battles and I won every single one. Yeah. Why won't I win my next one? It makes no sense. I just got to work harder.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And that's why I think, like, I definitely want to watch that one, because that sounds exactly literally like the journey. And then there was two shows that I watched with my kids that remind me of the same thing. My Hero Academia, I watched with my kids, and I didn't watch all of them, but I watched a bunch, and it reminds me of one of the powers that, you know, the, I think All Might is his name, and he gives his power to one person, you know, to pass on the power. And that reminds me of, like, Bitcoin, like, passing that power on to all of us. But it was the power of, the opposite of that power was All for One. And that's like the dollar. It's like, all this is for one group of people. But the power that he had was One for All.
Yeah.
So it's like Bitcoin is this power for everybody, you know, instead of the opposite, where the fiat system is greed, you know, One for All is the greed, and Bitcoin is the opposite. So that's
all just really for one, and then one for all. Oh man, it's just yin and yang again, right? Just I'm gonna watch
that. Right. And then there was one, the last one was that reminded me a lot of it was One Piece, because I felt like that show was about the tangerines that she used to grow with, like the character used to grow the tangerines as a kid. And you know, that just reminded me of the fruit, orange fruit, and it just reminded me of Bitcoin. And there were some other parallels about that show about, you know, the power or something that they, I don't know, something, but definitely the orange fruit reminded me of it. So I feel like I like to use a lot of One Piece, you know, gifs and the orange hair. Just
I didn't know you watched One Piece. I actually started watching it a few weeks ago. There's just so many episodes. It's gonna take forever.
I didn't see the anime version. Okay, I saw the Netflix version with my kids. I loved it. Like, I was obsessed with that. Like, just, I think we watched it twice, like the Netflix version. But I know there's tons of episodes of the anime one. I've seen a little bit, but not too much of that one. But I still would like it. I mean, if I'm watching it with my kids especially, I'd like it too. But that's the thing. It's like, there's so many, like, anime shows that talk about, like, your journey or, like, your struggle or, like, power. And, like, a lot of this stuff reminds you of Bitcoin. And it does feel like a superhero that you are sort of, like, riding on the, you know, cape with. You know, you feel like you're going along for the ride. So I love it. I'm so glad. Thank you so much for talking to me today. I feel like we can talk some more about a lot of this stuff. We have so many things in common that we can discuss, and definitely with the yin yang part of it. It would be
cool. Oh my God, a collab, that would be crazy.
That'd be awesome. But I'm so glad you decided to do this, because I know that the day that I was asking for you to join me, I had an availability. Somebody had to cancel last minute. And I know that you wanted to do it, and I ended up having somebody else join me that day. So thank you for booking this. Perfect. And it was perfect timing, all time high, and talking about your journey. It's just so great.
It's like, just for no other reason, if you don't want to buy, like, just buy Bitcoin, not even for the number go up technology, but for the fact that it dares you to win. You know, like, just look at yourself and, like, I don't even care if that thing went to zero. It dared me to win. I would buy even more. I would freaking set a limit order of $1. I'd buy it all. It dares me to win. And I only want to talk to and collaborate with people who are winners. And, like, you are, you see it. Like, everyone we talk to in the army is a winner. They're just surviving and winning every day. And man, no other best time to do it other than 21 day for me. This for my version of 21 day. Mm-hmm. So this is phenomenal. So thank you.
Like 21 day.
Well, there we go. It's another 21. We'll come on with Jeeves.
Yeah. We'll see. It'll probably be 21,000 again on the 21 day. Cause it's probably going to bounce a little bit, I think, for the whole week. Sure. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, that'd be awesome. I would definitely look forward to that. I think this is just a really fun topic for people to talk about when it comes to Bitcoin, because so many of us had this sort of a journey and have seen a lot of these parallels with it. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
This.
Bye.